Do you think the many different ideas about being a Christian is any sign that the whole gospel is not true? Jesus Christ lived one life on earth. The Son of God became incarnate as one person. He was born in Bethlehem as a babe. He baptized at the River Jordan by John the Baptist, lived his life as Jesus of Nazareth, and died on the cross as one man, and was buried in the one cave in the one tomb belonging to Joseph of Arimathea, and then was raised from the dead, showed himself to be alive, and then ascended into heaven in full view of the disciples as one person. And if one speaks about Jesus Christ, that's who he is. Why then should there be so many different ideas? And if the interpretation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as the way of salvation is actually true, should we not expect that the people who preach it and teach it should be able to agree? But what is the actual case that you see round about you? We all know of the many different denominations. I don't know how many there are. The total number keeps changing all the time. Every now and again, some of them will merge together to form a new one. But oftentimes, a new one will form. Where once there was one, there will be two or three. So the denominations are to be found everywhere, all over. Then there are so many different practices. Some in this church do like this, and others in that church do like that. There are so many different doctrines. Some people will teach that this is important. Other people will teach that that is important, that this is the way to do it, or that that is the way to do it. And then there are views of all kinds about the present and about the future, about what Christians ought to do, what they ought to be interested in. There are ideas of all kinds, and we can say this, that the end is not yet. This sort of a confusing welter of various voices and views is to be found all over. Every now and again, someone is conscious of this, draws our attention to it, and tells us that Christianity must unite and have one voice. And if Christianity doesn't unite and have one voice, that is just not going to be able to make any impression on the world. Now, is such a comment as that true? And, on the other hand, does this confusion mean that the people are not real just because they don't agree? Now, this sort of thing can be felt when we're looking in the Gospel of John. Our particular passage of Scripture today is in the 7th chapter of John's Gospel, verses 25 to 31. You should read it, really, and just have it there before you while I'm speaking. I'll not be able to go over every sentence in it, every word in it, but just have it before you. And you will see that that pictures a very similar situation. You certainly will have to admit that the way it describes it is that there certainly was confusion among the people. And so we find them saying that the people were wondering whether or not this was really the Christ and whether or not other people really understood that he was. Now, as you look into it, and I want you to notice particularly in verse 27, if you look into it, you will, I think, begin to get some idea as to why there was so much confusion. You will notice in verse 27 that there were two things that were claimed. One of them was that they claimed they knew about Jesus of Nazareth, and the other was they claimed that nobody would know about Christ. Now, the first, when they claimed that they knew about Jesus of Nazareth, they had him right there before them. In the second one, it was largely out of tradition. There was generally the idea would be that if God did something, it would be totally beyond them. And certainly the Old Testament had promised that God would send Christ, and so they would expect that when Christ could come from God, whoever God's chosen person was, and whoever it would be that would come to do the will of God, that he would evidently come in such a way that they would never understand him. Now, this was the general understanding, the general expectation. And one of their problems was that they thought they knew about the Lord Jesus, therefore he could not be the Christ, because Christ was going to be something else and different. You will find this in some of the other Gospels. The same idea is there. When the neighbors would say, "Who is this man?" speaking of Jesus of Nazareth. "And what's so strange about him? What's so extraordinary about him? Don't we know his mother? Don't we know his brothers and his sisters? Hasn't he lived right here around here amongst us?" With the feeling that we know him, and what that amounts to is this. We understand him as a human being. We know him as a human being, and everybody would know, this is what they would say among themselves, that when Christ would come, when God's chosen person would come, nobody would understand him, because he would be from God. He would be far beyond them, and so on. So this is what they themselves understood and the way in which they felt. Now, the truth of the matter is that there was something about Jesus Christ that they did know. They knew about the story of Bethlehem, of course. They knew about the fact that he grew up in the city of Nazareth, so that he was called a Nazarene. They also knew that Nazareth was in this community, the part of the country called Galilee, so that he came out of Galilee. Now, they understood something so about the humanity, so to speak, about the human form of Jesus of Nazareth. And just because they knew him in that human way, they felt that this disqualified him from being the Son of God. They were ready to think right away that he could not possibly be the Son of God because they thought they knew all about him. And so you find them on the one side stressing his humanity because of his human form, and on the other side, you see them denying that there was anything about him that was beyond the human, anything about him that was supernatural. In this general position, let me just make the comment to say that this does violence to the incarnation. There is such a thing as being all wrong in your thinking because you claim to know too much about the human and you admit too little about the supernatural. If you overemphasize the human and you pass by and deny the supernatural, you would never understand our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the condition that they were in. Now, as long as they were like this, you can expect that there would be argument and controversy among them. And there was. Now, if you look in verse 28, you see our Lord's answer. The Lord said, "You both know me, and you know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not." Here the Lord Jesus is saying to them in effect, you claim to know the human part. You claim to know me from the standpoint of counting me as a human being. But you have no knowledge of God's part. Although you see me and think you know me as Jesus of Nazareth, you don't really recognize who sent me. You don't really know why I am here. And this would be part of the reason for the confusion. The great emphasis on the human part, claiming to understand that, which of course would be open to question, and then the tendency to ignore and to leave out that part of the revelation of Jesus Christ which would indicate God's hand in the matter. Just the other day, I picked up a book which was written for the purpose of teaching children about Jesus Christ. And in this particular book, there was a chapter on the boy Jesus. It undertook to tell the story from his birth and through his childhood. And it was told in such a way as you would think of Jesus of Nazareth as being a Jewish boy, just trying to picture just about what a boy would be like in a Jewish home. And the whole thing was given with the idea, this is the way it was with Jesus of Nazareth. And I asked myself when I read through, is this a true picture? Would this not be very confusing? Because after all, there was no mention whatever in this chapter of Gabriel. Do you really understand Jesus of Nazareth unless you know about Gabriel speaking to Mary? Do you really know the story of the babe of Bethlehem if you do not know about the angel speaking to Mary? And if you do not know about the angel speaking to the shepherds? And if you do not know about the wise men coming from the east, if you do not include those things, do you really know about the child Jesus of Nazareth? If you do not know about Anna in the temple when she saw him recognizing him as her Lord, and Simeon who had been in the temple and had been shown to him that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Lord's Christ and identifying the Lord Jesus, Do you really know the boy, Jesus of Nazareth, unless you know these other elements? I claim you don't. And I think you could be led into all kinds of confusion just exactly at this point. Today we have people who claim that they can understand Christian experience. And they talk about Christian experience as a psychological affair, as a personality affair, as a cultural affair. And they talk about promoting Christianity as if you were trying to promote something about goodwill among people or something of that nature. Well, how can such people actually claim that they can understand Christian experience when they do not understand nor practice prayer? Can you really understand the life of a Christian if you do not have personal dealings with the living God? I claim that you can't. And you see, I would say that if you have a person who looks at the Christian experience just from the standpoint of the human aspect of the Christians, you are misunderstanding the whole thing. Now, our Lord would not limit himself to such popular ideas, and there's no reason why we should. If we allow people to talk to us and to prescribe for us on the basis of our human appearance, we will lose our spiritual reality. And we might ask ourselves a single question at this point. Is there any clue to the truth in the midst of all the confusion of the various views? Yes, there is. And that's to be found right down in verse 31, when you find them saying this: Many of the people believed on him and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? Drawing our attention to the results of the gospel. And this is what we shall understand. So that when we, in other words, to write today, the thing that really counts in giving you an understanding of the gospel is the consequence of the gospel wherever it is believed in the hearts of the people. And so what are we to understand about all the confusion that is around us? We will understand that people do not know it all, and we will understand that if people see Jesus as human only, they miss the real truth. To consider the Christian life as human only is to miss the real truth. The major line of evidence is still the changed heart. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us in looking at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to see thy hand and to feel it in our hearts. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.